Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
As a kid, I think my thing that annoyed my dad the most was, are we there yet? We'd be in the car, I don't know, maybe a minute. Or I'm hungry. I want it now. I want this. You know, I have a 9-year-old daughter and everything has to be now. The second she even thinks of it, mommy, come here. And if I'm not there in a second, I asked you, I said, it's been a second. So, and Andrea, I know you having kids too. It's that instant gratification. I see this in adults as well. Yeah, it can be really tough with kids. So we're so lucky to have the wonderful Cornell Thomas back on the program. We adore him, and he is the author of The Positive, oh my gosh, The Power of Positive Thinking. I was about to say The Positive Power of Thinking. Hello, Cornell. Oh, The Power of Positivity. I knew it was something.
That's close enough. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. It's great to have you on. All right, so let's talk about this. What can we do, Cornell? We are all want it now.
Well, you brought up the perfect, you said the perfect phrase, the instant gratification, and that's kind of the society that we live in. And if you see, notice, like when people have their New Year's resolutions, it's like, okay, I want to lose 30 pounds. And it doesn't happen the first 7 days, and then the New Year's resolution is out the door, and here comes the cupcakes. Because no one wants to wait. No one has patience in the process. And, you know, we do talk about thriving and saying, you know, are we there yet? And I used to do that all the time. Like, me and my brothers used to drive out to Bird's Nest, Virginia with my mom, and it was like 5 hours away. And it was such a beautiful drive. We'd never appreciated it yet because we were just waiting for the destination. And so my mom, you know, besides saying, okay, I'm about to pull over the car, shut up, she was just like, no, we're not there. No, we're not there yet. And now as an adult, I realized, man, if we would have just kind of sat back and relaxed and just kind of looked outside and enjoyed the journey, the destination would be that much sweeter. And I think that's what, I think we looked at it that way and said, hey, you know what? Whatever I'm going through right now, you know, when I get to my goal, man, how sweet it's going to be when I can look back and say, I went through all this stuff and now I'm here. So I think the instant gratification, once we get that out of our head and just kind of concentrate on just what's in front of us, it'll be a lot better.
Oh, I completely agree. But, you know, and we hear a lot in the media, or we, if you're a big Oprah fan the way I was or I am, she talks a lot about being in the present. And it's very hard to be in the present, especially, you know what, Cornell, I find it even harder these days because, and for our kids too, because of, you know, the internet and social media and video games. I mean, everything is so much about now and instant gratification and, you know, flash, bam, boom. Like, it's everything is so quick. So I think, if anything, it's making it, things are getting harder to be in that present moment than it used to be.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is this. When we see people on TV, when you see people in the media, what do you see? You usually see people that are successful. So you immediately think that they woke up, and then one day they're successful. You don't hear about their story. They don't get into their story a lot. So you see, you know, when I was growing up, you see Michael Jordan on TV, like, wow, Michael Jordan's amazing. This is probably really easy to do. No, it's not. He's put in thousands and thousands of hours becoming Michael Jordan. So what I do a lot of, and what I'm, you know, my son gets older, I'm going to have him do, is I read. And I read about people's stories and what they went through to get to where they were. You know, so I think that's what, I think when you do some research, like, you look at, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and, you know, Malcolm Gladwell and all these people that are, like, really successful from all these different genres, no one says, hey, you know what, I woke up and I was successful and now I'm a billionaire. Like, no, that doesn't happen. So I think when you do your research and you educate people on the background of some of these people that are successful, you know, including Oprah, you get to see kind of what they went through to get there.
I love that you say that. I mean, I'm a big fan of the book Born to Win. I think it's Lewis Timberlane. I think that's who wrote it. And he tells a story about people who literally took years and years and years. Like, you look for someone like, you know, Colonel Sanders. He didn't become even known until he was in his 60s, I think, or 70s. Yeah. So I love that you say that, because I think for a lot of us, you know, looking at other people and, you know, we were quick to judge and we say, well, wait a second, how did that happen so quickly? But I love that you know, that's such great advice, Cornell, is to literally read autobiographies and read stories about people and the years that it takes people to get to where they are today. So thank you for that.
Oh, no problem. And you also nailed it in the head. You said, exactly, you said we look at other people. And I think that's sometimes the problem. It's a beat the Joneses. You know, like, oh, this person's here right now. This person at this point right now. So I have to be there. You know, I started training in, like, CrossFit. When I first got there, being an athlete, you know, these ladies were, like, just kicking my butt. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what's going on? And I'm, like, getting bummed out. And I'm like, wait a second, Cornell, you just started this. They've been doing it for years. Like, relax. You know, like, don't worry about the person next to you. Worry about the person, you know, worry about yourself. And then once you look at it like that, it makes it a little bit easier. So I'm trying to beat the person next to you. So I'm trying to beat people in general. You know, be the best you can be, and you won't worry about who's on your left or your right.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Andrea, earlier you brought up, you know, video games or even just looking at a smartphone. I'll see kids waiting in line with their parents, and instead of waiting like we used to have to and just sort of be in the moment, they'll immediately give them a smartphone. Or I'm not putting anyone down. I'm just saying, and they'll be playing a game or watching a video. And I think, you know, we're forgetting, or the kids aren't even learning patience or just not getting things the second they want it. And I worry about that as well.
The zombie apocalypse. You know, I saw the best picture ever. It's a zombie apocalypse, and it had a picture of like 30 people looking at their cell phones while they were walking. It was honestly the best picture I've ever seen in my life. I was dying laughing, but it's sad. Like, that's what it is. Like, I was in line yesterday, and there was this girl that looked like she was like one, and she's holding this, you know, she's watching something keep thing. I mean, if your kid can talk, how about having a conversation with them? Like, I know not all the time that works, and if your kid is going crazy in the store, you want to kind of give them something like, all right, Johnny, please shut up. But, I mean, how about, like, oh, well, look at this, or, oh, look at that, or, hey, what's this, or, hey, do you want to help me put stuff in the cart? Do you want to help me unload stuff? You know what I mean? Like, everything is just answered by technology, and I think, you know, there should be a change in that shift.
Well, and I'm guilty mom of three who's been on both sides. So I do believe that for me, it's all about moderation and balance. So those times when, let's say I'm with my two-year-old and she's throwing tantrums and I'm not in the mood to deal with her at that moment. I can provide her or give her, you know, my phone to play with. But there are other times where I'm very much about, you know, I'm strict about certain times of being on technology. After dinner in our house, there is a no technology rule. So I do think there's a time and place, but I do understand that certain times, you know, to your point, Lisa, I mean, there are times where it's easier to give them the technology so that they behave or that we're not arguing and they're not kind of sucking our energy out at every moment, you know, at that dinner meal.
I heard something yesterday, guys, and it cracked me up and it made me really laugh. This mom does not give out her Wi-Fi password to the kids until the chores are done. I thought that was awesome. Like, I was at my wife's job, and this lady she works with was like telling us a story about this woman who, you know, the kids would be home, and she'll have a list like the chores of the day. It might be like just take out the garbage or clean your bed or whatever, and she'll have like three chores, and then she changes the password every day, and once they get it done, she'll tell them the password. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is a good idea. That really is.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm still in it.
Yeah,
I'm still in it. As soon as prices go up, they get on Wi-Fi. I'm still in it. But the problem with me is I'll probably forget the password, so I won't have Wi-Fi either, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, Cornell, I just think you have such great advice. And again, I get no judgment because I've done that with my daughter in line as well. I know I'm very reminiscent of the way I grew up, of just a simpler time. And, you know, but I was pretty darn impatient even without having the, you know, little computer screen to keep me occupied.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, if we could learn these things, right, when we're younger, it might help a little bit.
I think that's the key. I think you start when they're young, and then by the time they get to be, you know, young adults and they're, you know, 15, 16 years old, they're not so impatient. But I really think we embrace the journey. Like I used an example before. I was writing a piece for a good friend of mine that's on the phone right now. And I said, when you're running a marathon, you don't think about, you think about the finish line, it was great, you crossed, but what do you think about? You think about mile 13 when you were about to pass out, or mile 20 when you were, you know, paced yourself next to somebody that's running right next to you, and you're like, oh, man, I can get through it. Or, you know, when you see your family and friends with that water and they get you through the marathon. So you don't really think about the finish line. Only takes a second. You're through the finish line. The journey is the length. That's the part. That's the hard part, you know. So I try to look at it that way also.
Yeah, well, you know what, Cornell, as always, words of wisdom. And yes, I can't wait to get that blog up on our website at Naturally Savvy. So if you want to read Cornell's blogs on his website, it's powerofpositivity.net. And you could follow him on Twitter at Cornell Thomas. Until next time, stay connected at RadioMD and NaturallySavvy.com, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic.